You're listening to Ewan Gilbert on ABC Central West.
Well, the world is patiently awaiting a vaccine against COVID-19, but at the same time, we're also increasingly being reminded that it's quite possible we'll never really see the back of it. Smallpox is actually the only infectious disease of humans that has ever been successfully eradicated around the world. But we are close on some others. Back in the 40s and 50s in Australia, it was another disease that terrified the community, polio. It's estimated that around 40,000 Australians contracted paralytic polio, and many more suffered from a milder, often undiagnosed case. But a vaccine was eventually found, and this week marks 20 years since the country was declared polio-free. Still, the effects linger, including here in the Central West. Ruth Worthington is a member of the polio support group in Condobolin and joins us this morning. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
It was actually your husband that survived polio.
Yes, Bill had polio back in 1951 when he was 7 years old.
What was that experience like for him?
Well, he spent the first 3 weeks in hospital in Condobolin with a lot of severe pain before he was moved to Dubbo for several months, where he had to undergo continuous exercise and learn to walk again. From there, he returned home for a little while before spending a further 18 months in the far west at Manly, receiving further treatment and getting his walking to a better degree.
So in many ways, it completely upended his childhood.
A complete change of lifestyle, one would say.
Yeah. And was Bill's story unusual for children around the Central West at that time?
Well, even in Condobolin alone, there were probably 10 to 15 children affected in that 1950s, 50-51 epidemic.
Right. And many of them had to move away to get treatment?
Well, there was no treatment here. Anyone who had any major problems, like Bill did, and he had time in the iron lung, had to go away because there was just not sufficient people here that knew anything about it.
Yeah. How has it sort of impacted Bill's life going on these days, many decades on? Does he still feel the effects?
He certainly does. He has now what they call post-polio syndrome. But going back, during his youth, I suppose, he found ways to do things and keep up with his friends and things, often doing things that people today would frown upon. OH&S wouldn't approve of everything that we've done in our life and the way things have been done. But now he farmed right up until 2014.
Uh-huh.
We were able to have, or we had lifts fitted to tractors and headers and things in the latter part to get him up into the machinery. And minor things all the way along have been changed just to fit him.
Yeah. Has the treatment changed over those times, or it's kind of not so? I know there's no cure for polio. There is a vaccine against it, but in Australia we don't vaccine against it. We don't vaccinate against it anymore because it's
we
not.
Do.
Oh, do we?
Yes, polio is part of the initial treatment that babies get when they get their. Used to be the 3-in-1, 4-in-1, 5-in-1.
Oh, right. Apologies. There you go. So we do still vaccinate against it, which is fantastic. And has the treatment for people like Bill who are sort of suffering those lingering effects, has that changed over time?
Well, it hasn't really, because it's a number of years before anything was done as a group. Polio New South Wales was formed probably 25 years ago, and Polio Australia was formed after that. And there's no funding comes from the government or anything for any work that's done with post-polio people.
Mm.
So anything that you want has to be thought and fought for. I suppose things are better today. I mean, Bill has a wheelchair that he runs around on now. He has a gopher that he can run up and down the street or go down to the veggie garden. So things like that have changed. And, I mean, the caliper that he used to have as a child compared to the one he's got now, which they even say is ancient. So much more modern, more lightweight things are available, yes.
You mentioned post-polio syndrome. This is something that, so even if you had polio and you kind of largely recovered from it back in the, say, 50s, for example, a post-polio syndrome is that thing that kind of lurks in the background and can come back and affect people even decades down the track. It's very similar to the actual infection itself, isn't it? It sort of affects the central nervous system.
That's right. The nerve ends, when you have polio, all the nerve ends die off, and because 70% of the ones that get polio or under 10 years of age, their nerves grow again. But in latter years, they all start to die off, and that's when the muscle weakness and things all come in.
There's, as you mentioned, a few support groups kind of dotted around. There's one in Condobolin, I think there's one in Parks and Forbes. Do you ever get together? What's the sort of situation for people who are still sort of suffering with some of the impacts years on, and is there that support there these days?
It's only sort of a local support sort of thing.
Yeah.
Once you know and what you can do. There's not a lot of outright support. We do go to a few cinemas, but they're usually all in Sydney. And for a three-hour cinema, it's certainly not worth the hassle. So any support is really local. Wonderful newsletters, I will give them, post-polio. Newsletters are wonderful about what is out and about.
Do you remember, Ruth and Bill, about what life was kind of like and when polio was ravaging its way around the world back in the 40s and 50s? I mentioned in the introduction that it was kind of terrifying communities. I wasn't alive back then, but my understanding is that it really was, it kind of was just as scary as COVID-19.
Well, it was, because even back then, the schools were closed and some of the state borders were closed during the 37-38 epidemic. So people, and you weren't allowed to visit people. So it's much the same as COVID in that sense. But of course, back then there was the isolation. There wasn't a population and there wasn't cars where people travelled so far.
Yeah, and getting access to information too, I imagine, was scary. So if you were infected or you were concerned about it, getting access to reliable, correct information, not as easy as it is these days.
Well, Bill's parents were living 60 kilometres north of Condobolin, and they came to town within 5 days in a row before they were diagnosed with polio, by which stage he started off with just a stiff neck. But by the time that came in on the fifth day, he literally couldn't move anything.
Wow.
It must have been a hair-raising experience for his parents so far out.
Yeah, indeed. And so just finally, Ruth, are there sort of many people around Condobolin that are in similar situations to Bill and yourself?
There'd only be perhaps two others.
Uh-huh.
And one was an aunt of Bill's who he hadn't seen for many months, apparently. She's an older lady now, but she got it. And a couple of younger ones got it, but yeah, so it certainly put everyone on edge from what we can gather. Perhaps more so back even in the 37-38 pandemic or epidemic, where it seemed to be much more vigorous than the 1951 one.
Ruth Worthington, really nice to talk to you this morning. Thank you so much to both you and to Bill for allowing you to tell his story as well to us this morning. Really nice to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Ruth Worthington. Her husband, Bill, got polio as a seven-year-old, so almost 70 years ago. And, as I said, about 40,000 Australians contracted paralytic polio during the sort of predominantly during the 40s and 50s, but even earlier than that, as Ruth pointed out as well. But this week marks the actual day, 20 years since Australia was declared polio-free. Polio cases since that time, since Bill was infected, have decreased by 99.9%. But we haven't managed to eradicate it in the world. We've managed to wipe it out in Australia. But there are a couple of countries. I was having a look at the statistics this morning. It's been going down, 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 down. But in the last year, 2 years, the trend has been going back up again. Countries like Afghanistan and Pakistan, the numbers do seem to be going up. They're sort of talking about it's got the potential to affect up to 200,000 people per year within the next 10 years if it's not sort of left unchecked. Places like PNG, they're worried about, other sort of Asia-Pacific nations as well. And part of the issue was that the vaccine, there were some issues with the vaccine originally that caused some problems with some people. So they haven't managed to completely wipe it out around the world, but they're certainly ramping up efforts in recent times to try and get the rest of the world to become like Australia, and we certainly don't want it back in Australia either. But our thanks to Bill and Ruth for telling their story this morning.